for many of us tonight, some chains will be broken in a good way, in a good sense. And tonight I'd just love to talk to you about reopening the wells, which is a bit of a cryptic title to use, but hopefully you'll follow me pretty soon in that. But sort of as a preparation for this message, I'd like to ask a very simple question. And the very simple question that I'd like to ask you, if we go to the next slide, is how healthy is your relationship with yourself? Can we do something for a moment? Perhaps you've got a notebook in front of you, a pen and paper. You surely do have a cell phone with you. Can we take a moment or two? And if you can pen down for yourself, whether you type it out on a cell phone or one of those fancy apps that you have, or, you know, if you only have a BlackBerry, email yourself. forgive me. If you've got a notebook, write down, it's just for yourself, for no one else, just for yourself. It's not something that you're going to share. But I want to ask you a very simple question. If you're honest with yourself, what do you really think of yourself? How do you really feel about yourself? Not for anyone else, not for anyone else to see or to discuss with anyone else, but just as a preparation for tonight, how do you really feel and really think about yourself when you're really honest? I'm just going to give a moment or two, just by yourself, to pin that down perhaps. Tricky question, isn't it? You see, if I have to venture a guess, I would say that most of us feel somewhat ambivalent about ourselves. Ambivalent. On the one hand, yes, I like myself. I see this good quality about myself. But the more I talk to people, the more I realize that I don't think, in general, we have a healthy relationship with ourselves. You see, there's three levels of relationship that you must have and that you can have. The first level of relationship certainly is with God. Loving God, having a good relationship with God. And that we often talk about. The other type of relationship that we talk about is having a relationship with other people. Whether it be a neighbor, family, friends, spouse. You know, all those relationships certainly are very important. And they can be complicated, but you know, some of the relationships are very good. Some of the relationships need some work. But an area that we often don't talk about is, how do you relate to yourself? Do you love yourself tonight? If you're really honest and you look in the mirror, are you racked with all the doubts that you have, all the insecurities that you have, all the things that you dislike about yourself? You see, it's easy to do that, and if I have to take that guess and use that word again, ambivalent, it will be a good guess to take that, not only because I talk to a lot of people, but because we do have a problem of sin in this world. The very things that we do not want to do, we do. The very things that we despise and promise ourselves we'll never do, we sometimes find ourselves on the dual temptation of doing it, and perhaps even doing it. Sin ultimately breaks relationships. It breaks relationships with God. It breaks relationships with each other. But it also breaks relationship with yourself. Do you love yourself? Even that word is a strange word to use, because if I say, do you love yourself, what does it mean? You know, for some people it means, hey, do I indulge myself? Do I pamper myself? And that might be what you need. Or it might mean that you need to get strict actually with yourself. You need to kick your own behind, if that's possible. Because the question is, if you love yourself, you have a good relationship with yourself, meaning that you are committed of doing what is good for yourself as well. Not just for only other people, but also for yourself. Why this is very important is that if you do not love yourself, it is very hard to love other people. Jesus, after all, did say, love your neighbor as yourself. If you do not have a good relationship with yourself, chances are that you won't have a good relationship with other people. There's another element that we have to look at, and that is that the Bible often presents us as priests. And what is a priest? A priest is somebody that mediates something. It's somebody that stands in the middle and connects two parties. And when we're priests in the kingdom of God, it means that we have this tremendous privilege of, for a moment, connecting people to the kingdom of God, bringing two parties together. But here's the thing, if you do not love yourself, how can you mediate? How can you come in between and help? How can you be that bridge if a bridge is tottering and falling all the time? See, this is a very, very difficult question for us. And often we're not honest about it. And I want to say to you tonight, it is important that you love yourself. It is important that you have a healthy relationship with yourself. And I want to use a certain image in the Bible that is the imagery of a well. Now, when I want to use this imagery, I'm going to look at three particular wells that appears in the Bible that is used in a symbolic fashion. And each one of these wells is a source of life for you. Alright, just hang on for a moment. I know it's a bit complicated. It's a source of life for you, but it's also a way in which you need to get to know yourself. Now, why in biblical times as well is such important imagery? Well, it's quite obvious. It's quite an arid area that the people stayed in Israel. And water is certainly something that you very much need. When the Israelites came into the promised land, there wasn't a lot of rivers. And they actually, in that time, developed a new technology, if one could put it that way, called a cistern. And a cistern would be a pit that you would dig into limestone, and you plaster over it, and you make it waterproof, and then you'll have channels built around it, so that when it rains, these channels will be filled with water, and they will filter down into the cistern, and then you'll have water for a season. Now, just think about that for a moment. You're far away from a river, so you don't have a river. Your other option is to have a cistern. But the problem with a cistern is quite obvious. When it rains, it's great because you've got lots of water flowing into it. But then, that's the only water you have for a season. And what happens to that water when it stands? And stands. And stands. Now that's why when we read through the book of, the Judges, we see that the people are always fighting. And I can understand that. If I have to drink that myth water all the time, I'd also be fighting with everyone. All right? Life was not exactly a holiday in those days. But there was a third option, that's the option of a well. If you could dig a well, if you can get a well that has got fresh water, that is amazing. It is a source of life. We need water all the time. And so much better if it's fresh water. So of course, water and life as a symbol goes together. Now remember that. There's three wells that I want to talk about tonight. And each one of his wells is a source of life, but also each one of his wells is a way in which you need to get to know yourself. So let's talk about the first well. And that is the power of Christ in you. Jesus stands up and he says the following, John 7, verse 38, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Living water was actually in him. It meant water that is not static. It means it's not that myth water in the system, all right, that you leave for the bad guests. Living water is water that is flowing, that is fresh, that is great. And Jesus says here that whoever believes in me, something will happen to that person. That person will not have a system, static water. That person will have a well that is so powerful and so abundant that it will actually change into a river. Out of you will flow life, and life in such abundance that it will overflow from your own life and touch and reach those around you. Amen. Let me add. The first well that we need to get to know as believers is the power of Christ in me. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been a follower, active follower, sold out, born again, on fire, tongue speaking, weird, going for it, zealous Christian for a long time of my life. And you know what? It took me years of stupidity to realize that my relationship with Christ is not based on my perfection. Isn't it funny how we're not looking at the abundance of Christ in us, but we're looking at our own inabilities. We're looking at the things that we cannot do. We look at the things that we fall short in, and we go like, oh my goodness gracious. And it's Adam and Eve all over. God calls, but I'm hiding away or playing around with fig leaves. The thing about following Christ is, it is not my perfection, it's the perfection of Christ. And the longer I follow Christ, the more I'm in awe of his perfection. And you know what? The less I worry about my own imperfections. Because I've learned that my own imperfection does not add or detract in any way from the perfection of Christ. And my only desire in the end of the day is that people will not see me. I'm quite short, so that's quite easy. But that people will see Christ. Because that's the rivers of living water. Why is it that we're so easily consumed with our environment? What is going for me? Is my bank balance going for me? Is my job going for me? Friends, are they going for me? Church, is it going for me? Who's for me? Who's against me? We're so worried about the things that is outside of us that we never look to the inside and see the fullness of Christ in me. Now, I know this is a mystery, and perhaps tonight I'm talking about this, you're going like, yeah, say what? Well, what are you talking about? You see, because you need to get to know the Christ inside of you. You need to get to know that Christ is not there, up there somewhere only. He's actually inside of me. And do I know him inside of me? Do I listen to him? Do I speak to him? Do I know the power of the resurrection within my own life? Do I know the power of a cross that kills all things that is evil, all things that breaks me, that diminishes me? Do I know this Christ inside of me? John the Baptist so beautifully said, let him become more, let I become less. Now, Christianity certainly is one of the great paradoxes. You find yourself in losing yourself. When Christ becomes all, you become your true self. And this is a source of life. How much are we so dependent on our own talent and skill? What can I do? What can I not do? What degree do I have? What don't I have? What can I intellectualize? What can't I? What can I control? What can't I control? At the end of the day, those things, yes, they are important, but they can I had very little. Because it's not a source of life. But Christ in me is a source of life. And it means that your life is tremendously precious as you're sitting here tonight. You see, I think for most people, if we have to take that cell phone from you, that notepad from you, I promise we won't. And we have to look at it. I don't think a lot of people would say, you know what, I'm precious. My life is worth a lot. I am saved in Christ. I'm a treasure. I am amazing. I'm so hot right now. Yes, I am. Right? Christ in you. God lives in you. It means you're a temple. How amazing is that? And we never think about that. We never stop to appreciate it. The preciousness of our lives. We are living stones built to be the temple of God. Temple in the Old Testament, it was everything. Jerusalem temple. They spent years, in the time of Herod, they spent 200-300 years. They used stones that were so large, some of it weighed up to 600 tons. Some poor schmuck was carving 600 tons of stone. So it can form one stone in the temple. I mean, it probably took him and his son and his son's son and his son's son's son to carve that one rock. Just to be a small part of a temple. And you are a living stone. It took Christ to die upon the cross to carve you. And you being added, a memorial that you've been made. But when the end of day come, and all things are placed together, we form this temple that God inhabits. It says that God will dwell among us. You are precious. You need to get to know the Christ in you. Not just the Christ there somewhere. Not just the Christ when the band worships somewhere. But the Christ in me. Doesn't mean I become Christ, obviously. I'm not saying that. But it means I need to build this relationship with Christ. Who is He in me? When the Bible says, great is He who is in you, then He is in the world. What does that mean to you? Can you write that down? Can you say what it means to you? Not just a concept they're far off, but something that lives in the heart. And maybe tonight you need to discover it. You need to discover that overcoming power. You know, when everything else is going against you, and you're on your knees, and you've got nothing left. You don't have the strength to say something. You don't have the willpower to fight. And then something rises within you. Christ in me. Great is He who is in me. See, this is the source of life. It flows. Rivers of living water. You are precious because Christ lives in you. But also you need to get to know yourself as a believer in Christ. What does it mean? Who am I? How do I relate to myself in this way? The second well that I'd like to address is actually this. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says the following. Above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I've been aspris for a while. What is a nice English word for that? Deliberate. And everyone that's come to see me that I'm just chatting to, even a friendly chat. I even did it today, chatting about marriage preparation. I ask a very simple question. Who are you? Who are you? What are you? Not just your name, not just where you're from, not just what you do, not what is your degree, not what is your connection. Who are you? What is the very thing that you are good with? If we are to say that you are a gift, and you certainly are a gift, if we are to say that God designs all things, He makes all things, it means He designed you a certain way. How did He design you? Who are you? If we are to say that God has made all things and He's placed all things together for a purpose, to serve His purposes for this generation, and God has made you in a certain way with certain gifts, certain talents, certain abilities, a certain complexity, a certain composition of all the elements that makes you you, your talent, your skill, your personality, your character, the lessons that you've learned, the experiences that you've had, all of that placed together, who are you? If we are to sit around the table and say, let's each place our gift on this table. This is what I contribute to this society. This is a difference that I can make to my family, to this church, to this society. This is what I do. Can you answer that? In the beginning, when I started off being a pastor, before that I was actually a physiotherapist of all things. All right. No one is laughing, so that's a good thing. And people would ask me a question. They would often ask me, so how does it feel different? How does it feel different? My dad, being very deliberate himself, would say, he massaged people's bodies, now he massaged their souls. I never massage people. Soft tissue manipulation, come now. Massage, not a masseuse. You know what's a funny thing though, when people ask me that, is that I would actually say, well, it actually doesn't feel different. Which is a weird thing, because I'm in physio is one thing, being a pastor is another thing. I mean, if you're physio, you fall off a bus, you injured your back, you're at the physio, can't stand up straight. If you come to me with that problem, I'll pray for you and send you to the physio, right? So obviously it can't be the same. I mean, how can it be the same? It's completely different careers. My boss at the clinic that I worked at, when she asked me, what are you going to do now when I resigned? I said, I'm going to work for a church. And she said, was it so bad I drove you to religion? no, it wasn't. I really enjoyed it. But the funny thing is, it really felt the same. Why? It's not the same activity. It's not the same thing that I did. Why does it feel the same? Because the common denominator was me. And the way in which I approach my physiotherapy, the way in which I approach people, and the gift that I have, is actually exactly the same. I'm still the same. I still approach people in the same way. I still actually do the same thing. What is the thing that you do? Or are you so dependent on your type of work, so waiting for somebody to define what you're going to do at work and your job description, but every time you change work, you change? See, that's why a lot of people are unhappy with their work, because they never get the opportunity to express who they are. But here's the thing, how can you express who you are if you're not completely sure who you are, in fact? What is your passion? What is that thing that you excel with? What is this thing that you do that makes a difference? Do you know yourself? Guard your heart. It is precious. It is precious. The composition of who you are, your character, your skill, your personality, it is amazing. It is wonderful. Now, somebody once said to me, and they were feeling very unhappy about things in their small group, and they said to me, I feel different from everyone else. And I said to the person, thank God you feel different. Because here's the newsflash, you are different. You are different. You are unique in the way God is. Composed you, made you, built you, designed you, lovingly put you together. Who are you? What is this gift that you are? And you see, somebody else can't tell you all the time who you are and who you're not. You need to know who you are. You need to be able to walk into a work and say, this is what I'm going to contribute to this job. When I walk out here, it's not going to be the same anymore. This place is going to be blessed. All right? Because I've been here, because I'm going to leave something amazing here. When you walk into a relationship, into a friendship, can you be intentional enough to say, this is what I contribute to this friendship? My bad, I don't mean getting the bill every time we go to the coffee shop. This is what I contribute. This is who I am. If you sit around in a small group and you say, that's who you are, this is who I am, and now if we can put this all together, we can make something really amazing. Because that's the beauty of community. Everyone is different. Everyone adds something that is amazing. And when we put all of that together, we get something that is truly remarkable, awe-inspiring. And that is when church happens. So who are you? What is it that God has placed within you? So the first source, the first well is Christ in us. The second well is your innate talent, character. Who are you? How are you placed together? The third one, I'm going to finish with that and to get to a couple of practical suggestions, is this. The calling of God on your life. Now, listen to the story. I'm going to read through a couple of verses. No, you need to go back. And back. Is that far enough back? Yes. Listen to this. We're going to read through this. This is the story of Isaac after the death of his father Abram. He reopened the wells. Yes, and that's why I get that abstract title. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abram's death. Isaac also restored the names Abram had given them. Isaac's servants also dug in the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. Now remember how precious a well of water is. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. This is our water, they said. And they argued over it with Isaac's herdmen. So Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. All right, he was running out of names. Isaac's men then dug another well. But again, there was a dispute over it, so Isaac named it Sitnah, which means hostility. Yes, he did believe in a literal translation of scripture. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time, there was no dispute over it, so Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space. For he said, at last the Lord had created enough space for us to prosper in this land. From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. I am the God of your father Abram. Now that is covenantal language. I'll explain that now. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. Does that sound familiar? That is a word that is spoken to Abram by God when he cut covenant with him. I will multiply your descendants and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abram, my servant. Then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord. He set up his camp at that place and his servants, surprise, surprise, dug another well. Most precious commodity, water. Most important commodity. If you had to add monetary value to anything in those days, water. That would be it. So here these guys are and Isaac goes and he reopens the well that his father dug. A dispute breaks open. Over it. He goes to another place, reopens dispute again. So he starts digging, and everywhere he goes, the water seems to follow him. Anyone else and everyone else is digging, nothing happens. When he digs, it's water. I mean, he's getting so bored that he's thinking of very interesting names for all his wells. And then God appears to him and says to him, I will be with you. There's a certain stamp that I've placed upon your life. You're not just plain old Isaac. You're not just that kid. You are the son of Abram. And there's a certain calling that I've placed upon your life. There's a certain thing that I'm going to do because you are Abram's son. And because I have this relationship with Abram, the same thing is going to happen with you. And you're not even trying now, but wells is going to spring forth wherever you go because there's a certain blessing that I've placed upon you. Because you see, I have a purpose for you. You will become a great nation. Did Isaac understand the fullness of the purpose of what God wanted to do? No. Did he knew that Christ would come and great things that Christ would do and that his very father Abram would become the father of all the faithful? Probably not, if I have to take a guess. But nevertheless, this purpose of God came upon his life. So what is the first wall? The first wall that we spoke about is the power of Christ in you. But we need to discover, need to understand of ourselves, to have a good relationship of ourselves. The second thing is who God the Father has created you. And understanding who you are and how you place, how you put together, that is very important in having a good relationship with yourself. But then this final one is equally important. Understanding that God has placed a certain calling, a certain purpose, a certain supernatural something upon your life. Something you can do that no one else can do. Isaac, he could do what no one else could do. He could dig a well and something would happen. You see, a key question here is why did God place you here now? Why weren't you born with a groot trek? Or with, I don't know what, in the Roman times, whatever. Why here? Why now? Why this place? What am I doing here? See, God, He's not confused. He's placed all things together. Why here? What am I to do here? And you know what? I don't just think it's one single thing. I think God is so amazing, so creative that there's amazing things to do every day. You see, we sometimes think it's just one big thing that I must do. I must be like Noah. I must build one ark and then hope the flood comes. Alright, and that's my thing. That's my calling in life. I don't think so. I think every day there's something amazing that you've been placed here for, adventure that you can embrace, things that you can do that no one else can do, if you just open enough for it. And from that, springs of life will flow. But you see, our problems every day, we wake up and go like, coffee. And then we go, traffic. And then we go, emails. All right. And then we're stuck in the rut. And then we're thinking, I hope I make it to the weekend. And after the weekend pass, we go like, I hope I make it till payday. And pretty soon life flows by us. From one payday to the next. From one weekend to the next. From one email to the next. But do we embrace this wild adventure that we're in? It's an incredible opportunity. You know, I'm so thankful that life is unpredictable. And we try and make it safe. Don't make it safe. Keep it unpredictable. I don't mean don't pitch up for work whenever you don't like to. That's not what I say. Because I can predict the outcome of that one very easily to you. But we get stuck in the rut. Do we ask God every morning, hey, I want to embrace the adventure today. I want to give an opportunity. Let me pray for somebody. Let me smile at somebody. Let me say hi. Let me be that change. Have you noticed if you're down and you're like, and you walk in the shopping mall, everyone that you look at also look like that at you. Isn't it weird? Boggles my mind. But if you smile, you're happy, what happens? Everyone goes like, how's it, China? You know, you chat to the weirdest people. Is it just me that sees, am I weird? Does anyone else see that? You know, if you're in road rage and everyone wants to slam into you with a car. Isn't it weird? But if you like, you're on holiday, you're like a tourist here in Cape Town, and you're like, waving at everyone, right? Then people are like, you know, isn't it weird? You see, the problem is, it doesn't start with people out there, it starts with you. It starts with you. If you embrace the adventure of what God wants to do, if you want to say, you know what, I can dig another well. And isn't it weird how we get competitive? Yo, why did that person get a promotion? Yeah. That bloke prayed and it happened. I bit myself. Distance. Nothing happens. Alright? This guy had this amazing, amazing testimony. The angel Gabriel appeared to him, threatened him with a sword if he doesn't do that right. And that's like life-changing stuff. All right. And meanwhile, I'm stuck reading the King James Version of the Bible. That's what I do for revelation. And the Lord saith to thouest that thy musteth doeth that if. What? You know? If we can only have this, that the gospel works like this. The gospel never works from the outside inwards. It always works from inside to outwards. Is there many things wrong with us today? Yes. If each one of us have to make a list, if I have to pass around that F4 questionnaire again to you, all right, are we going to feel condemned? Yes. No. Is it many things that you cannot do and cannot control? Yes. But that's not the point of following Christ. The point of following Christ is not looking at your environment and what you can't do. The point of following Christ is discovering that Christ works from the inside out. That the kingdom of God is amongst us and in us. And when we enter the kingdom of God, it's not like entering a spur where you walk through the door and some waiter waits for you. You enter the air. And you know, I think it's tough because the honest truth is we don't want to go there. Can I just be honest for a moment? I think that's my personal opinion. I might be wrong. But I think a lot of people don't want to go there. Let's rather pretend. Let's rather keep things on a certain level. Let's not go there. Let's, in small group, let's talk about things that is okay and acceptable, but let's not go there. Let's, if somebody asks me, how are you? Let's use the good Christianese. I am too blessed to be stressed. But meanwhile, your house burned down. Your bank went bankrupt. Alright, your dog bit you this morning. And your porridge had a cockroach in it. You're lying, in other words. I don't think we want to go there often. We need a healthy relationship with ourselves. If you cannot love yourself, how can you know the love of Christ? Because loving yourself comes from the love of Christ. If Christ died on the cross for me, it means I am tremendously precious. But in a humbling way, because Christ died for everyone, it means I'm not precious more so than you. Or less so than you. Let's get practical. I'm going to finish off with that for tonight. We're going to be spending a while on this whole thing. Is that all right? For the next couple of weeks, not tonight. So tonight I'm asking three key questions that we need to answer. First one is, who am I? And obviously not like you've got Alzheimer's and go like, who am I? I don't know who I am. Who am I? What is my gift? How's God placed me together? Where am I heading? All right. Where am I going in this life? Can I give three practical suggestions to help you with that? If we can go to the next slide, I'm going to finish with that. First off is, what is my story? Fred has actually been suggesting this for a while, and I would suggest the same. Write down your life story. What is my story? You see, we're so busy forgetting our own story at looking some fake story on television, but we don't ponder our own story. What is my story? Where do I come from? What has happened to me? The good and the bad. Because God can use all of that and recreate all of that and make something amazing. But if you don't know where you're from, how do you know who you are? What is my story? What is my passion? That is actually what we're after. What is my passion? What really gets me going? What is the key moments in my life where I realize this is who I am, this is what is important, this is something amazing. Who am I? What is my story? The second suggestion is serve. Serve. How do you know what you excel in? if you don't serve other people? What do I excel in? Look at patterns in your life. What is the things that I'm really great with? I'm going to embarrass myself for a moment. When I was a younger Christian, high school, we were spirit-filled, we were baptized, we were going for it. All right, so we attended a seminar, which is meant to release the creative abilities in you. So me and two of my friends were utterly deceived that we're going to form a band. The worship leader gave us his best shot. And then we had to perform in front of a church. It is safe to say that that is not my calling. Listen, God is not going to tell you to do something that you can't do. What are the things that you really excel in? What are the things that make you amazing at your work, in your life? And then lastly, solitude. And this we find difficult as well. That moment of silence. We'd rather switch on the television, switch on the radio. But you know what? It's good to create time for yourself to listen. What is God saying to me? Where am I now? Where must I go? What is he doing in my life? And that is not something that takes 5 minutes and it gives you the full lowdown of what is going to happen in your life. It takes time. You listen to something, you learn something, you grow in something, your understanding grows in something. But you must learn to listen. I don't think we listen enough. Am I right? You know, usually with prayer, we use it as a monologue. We speak, God listen. But that's actually not prayer. Prayer goes both ways. God speaks and we listen. We respond and God listens. Isn't that amazing? But create time for yourself to listen. Where do you want me to go? Look, I'm struggling with this in my work. What should I do? And listen. Don't do 10 million other things. Don't talk to 50 people. First listen. What is God saying to me? 3 practical suggestions. What is my story? Learn to serve other people in small ways. Learn what you're good with, what you excel in. I'm in solitude. Create time for yourself. Not to watch television, but to listen. Solitude. Very important. Can we stand? Is that okay? Bring ourselves before God. Bank can come to the front as well, please. Can we close our eyes? Is that all right? Just between you and God tonight. Father, we bring ourselves before you. And we thank you that you love us with enduring love. Lord, tonight we bring ourselves before you and the way that we feel about ourselves, the way we think about ourselves, the way in which we treat ourselves. And Lord, sometimes we worship ourselves, which is wrong. Sometimes we despise ourselves, which is wrong. But tonight we want to learn to love ourselves as well. In a good way, in a healthy way. Because we want to live and flow in this river of living water that you've placed in us. Therefore, we bring our 3 wells before you tonight. And we ask in the first place that you will help us to grow in understanding and living with the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let us see Christ in us. Let us relate to that. Let us know you in this way. We bring our second world before you, which is who you've made us to be. And I pray for clarity today. So many things spoken over us by so many people. So many people telling us there are many things that we cannot do, that it's not good enough. You know, if I may, I'm just going to interrupt this prayer for a moment just to share a story. And I shared it years ago. I just felt for tonight maybe it might mean for somebody something. When I was in primary school, I once had the opportunity to lead the school. Primary school, I was then at 12 years old. I had the opportunity to lead the school in quiet time for that morning, with a whole period. And usually what the kids would do is that they would take a diary piece, a golden oldie, like a Solly Osserweg type of piece, and they'll just recite it. They'll just read it, and everyone would be happy. And I wanted to do something a slightly different that morning, so I just shared something that is on my heart, and obviously I used a lot of humor. And just remember, I was a boy, I was 12 years old. It really upset a lot of people because they expected, you know, the kid to read something but not to go for it. I remember a teacher said to his class afterwards, kids in the class came to me and said to me, the teacher said, whatever you do in life, never become like Tienz Jacobs. Isn't it interesting? It's the first time I actually preached. I was 12 years old. And it's the first time I was attacked on that. And you have your own story. I mean, my story is a bit funny. I did make sort of a lot of jokes during the whole period, I must be honest as well. But the kids loved it. But you have your own story. Something somebody said to you was meant to quench who you are and what God wants to do in your life. You know, those things define us. It defines us. And we're so defined by other people that we do not give God the opportunity to define us, to tell us who we are. And I just feel that for many people tonight, God wants to speak to you again tonight. And I feel a lot of promises has been given to many people, but we've been like Abram's son that has allowed those wells to be filled by the Philistines. By those who do not stand for the purposes of God, but stands for themselves. And maybe that well needs to be reopened tonight. It needs to be dug out tonight. You know, and a key question for that is, do you still have your joy of salvation? Do you rejoice every day because of what Christ has done? And it was so beautiful with worship, just, you know, the obvious response of singing again what Christ has done for me. But maybe you've forgotten that. Maybe it's passed away. Maybe that well has been filled and there's not a river coming from it anymore, but all that there is dust, because once it served a purpose, once it was great, once there's rivers of living water flowing, but now it's just a memorial of something that happened long ago. And tonight, God really wants to break that chain again. Tonight, God really wants to break that definition of what other people prophesied over you. But God wants to speak over you and remind you again of what He says over you. Father, we come to open our ears to You. You have the final word. You are the beginning and the end. You speak and it is. You speak. You say, let there be light and there is light. You speak life and there is life. And tonight we open our ears to You and we close our hearts to the many things that has been spoken against us and over us. As attacked who we are. And defined us in an ugly way. And tonight we pray for renewed vigor, renewed purpose, renewed sense of self-knowledge in a healthy and a good way. Fill us again. Fill us again. Let us be aware. Let us be intentional. I feel a lot of people here as well tonight, you struggle to find your place in life. Because you don't know who you are and why you are here and where you go. So you can never be intentional about something. You're always like a ship that drifts without an anchor. Wherever waves takes it, it goes. But it gets tiresome because you never know where you're going, so you're waiting for the next thing to take you somewhere else. But tonight we ask for wisdom, Lord, to anchor us, to show us where you've placed us, not to be double-minded, but to walk the road that you've given us and to walk it to the end.